possibly get. Petr Wagner is the frontman of Czech Christian punk group Goro, a presenter on Český rozhlas station Radio Wave, and a Hasek preacher based in Čerčany near Prague. Ahead of Monday's national holiday in honour of St. Wenceslas, I met Petr in a sunny Prague park to ask him what he thought the nation's patron saint meant to Czechs a millennium after his death.
It's strange that that Czech people have two significant people in their history, San Wenceslaus and then San Adalbert, Wojciech, which are really not the typical, you know, nation-leading figures. They were both like a little bit outsiders, and they were more peaceful than warrior people, and they both ended quite bad in their lives. In both of them, there's some sort of thing that I really like in their psychology, because both of them are pretty close to what I can see in Christ that I like. They are more like peace than wars. And with San Wenceslaus, it's getting more political, and he's right on the edge of the old pagan times and the new Christianity coming. His mother was pagan from the Slavs that are from the north, and he's right in the middle of two worlds, trying to combine both elements, trying to live his own faith in the difficult times and being an important political figure.
There's a great deal of legend and myth surrounding St. Wenceslas. Do we know anything really about what he actually did and what he actually achieved? Any very sort of concrete achievements, or is it all so shrouded in legend that, you know, we can't draw any conclusions about, you know, his movements during his life?
I think what we can say is that he was trying to find a peaceful way of living with the German force that were always on the border. And the other thing that would be quite sure is that he was trying to propagate the Christianity and Christian way of thinking in this pagan environment. And he was complaining about that there was lots of alcoholism here and trade with slaves and stuff. So in the legends there are some parts that are telling us that he was trying to deal with these things. But maybe the slavery was so big in that times that it wasn't quite sure that he dealt with this. But we have some stories about San Wenceslaus being repenting for being drunk, and it's quite fun at times that he was still human for us. So he's not that legendary.
This country is very often referred to as the most atheistic country in Europe, but you think that's a bit of a misrepresentation. I know you're an active preacher as well. Can I ask you a bit about the sort of people who come and listen to you preach and who come to your church? I mean, would you say that there are more actively religious Czechs than you might first think?
I think our nation is not atheistic at all. It's more closer to the pagan times that were in the old days. It isn't sad, but it's just lived this kind of thing. Because we still have those strong tendencies towards the pagan kind of thinking and beliefs. People turn out to astrology and massively to different kinds of witchcraft, white witchcraft, such things. We even have television programs on big television stations that deal with astrology and stuff. So people tend to believe in something, and it's just that Christianity has a bad place in their views, because it was compromising a lot during communism and then after.
Can you tell me a bit about your band Goro and the music that you're making?
We founded Goro in 2003 with the guys from the church I used to go to, and but we were always thinking about the band more like a band, not just like a church kind of thing. We wanted to play in normal clubs, not just in the parishes, in the congregation. So we went just from the bottom, from playing the worst clubs ever and with the worst bands ever, and to something that we think has some sort of sense, because now we can be appreciative for the music we do, not just for being Christians, playing for Christians. It's quite easy to do it that way. It's always easier when you stay in your own field and don't do anything controversial. But we were always a little bit controversial, and we are doing this stuff.
Are you finding acceptance in, as you called it, secular circles?
Yeah, in some of the secular circles, for sure. But at the same time, we confronted lots of oppression from the so-called scene, you know. But I don't like those scene things, because they are trying to segregate everything.
Do you think, I mean, because I suppose in this country you're quite a high profile Christian, and with your band and with your radio show, I mean, do you think this is a really good way of, I suppose, reaching out and doing like further field work? Or do you think that there's a sort of danger of like celebrity and kind of being seduced by fame?
And I think I'm quite unknown, so I'm pretty okay with this position. I would like to be more known for the music with Goro, definitely. And then maybe attracts some people to what I'm believing in, because I think I'm quite open about that. But what I'm trying to achieve really is to be a good father, a good husband, and a good preacher in my congregation, and to keep the relationships I have now in such conditions in which they are now, because I think I have friends across all the denominations, and that's great. And I know it's very rare in the Czech Republic. So that's the fame I would like to achieve, actually. Yeah.
I was wondering if you thought the Pope's visit to the Czech Republic, which will be just coming to an end by the time this interview is broadcast, has a very important, big significance for this country or not?
It has a big significance for Catholics, actually. That is for sure. But I'm not this specific Pope is a good symbol for this country, since he's German, and since his past is a little bit obscure, and since he's really conservative, and that is what Czechs in general don't like, and I think other denominations don't like it either. So for me, it is just like it has no actual meaning for me. He comes, okay, that's okay for all my Catholic friends, but even many of them tell me that they don't like this Pope so much as they did in Saint John Paul II's case. So that's it.
Do you feel like you, as a Christian, as a Hussite Christian, here in this country, are part of a network of people who believe the same as you? Do you feel like there are people who represent your beliefs, either at a political level or, you know, even the heads of your church?
Some of them, they do represent my points of view, but still, I've been through different denominations in my life. That means that I think I try to take the best from different sides of Christianity, of Western Christianity. I have some friends also in the Orthodox Church, which is a big inspiration for me. But there are just... it's interesting that the people I really admire and look up to are not important in a political way. And so my own church authorities, not all of them are important for me, because I just need to see them as a personal example of faith. And that means I have many, many of heroes in the Catholic Church and in the traditional Protestant churches. When we are closer to the gospel, we can be sure that the church's role is to be a servant, and that doesn't mean we will try to get as much money from the state as possible. So we still have to have the heart of a servant, to serve to the society, to those who don't know Christ, who don't know gospel. The best way is the personal example. That means that we are not greedy. That's the thing. And I think that all the big churches here tend to be a little bit greedy. And at the same time, I think that there are things to be done. And if the state some 60 years ago stole a huge amount of possessions from especially from the Catholic Church, it should be resolved somehow. So I understand the Catholics that they for the last 20 years they try to do something with it, but I think they may be focused a little bit too much on this thing.
That was Hussite preacher Peter Wagner, a young and unconventional spokesperson for the religion.